Let us pray. Loving God, we are often upset by people who are not like us, those who think differently, those who act differently, those who speak differently. Our parched hearts are thirsty for your love. Our dry spirits are thirsty for your waters of life. Pour your love over us and transform us that we may embrace all the people of the world as our own. Amen. Janet is going to read the first scripture.
I'm reading from The Way, which is the Living Bible. And I'm reading Acts chapter 11, the first 18 verses. Soon the news reached the apostles and other brothers in Judea that Gentiles also were being converted. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers argued with him. You fellowship with Gentiles and even ate with them, they accused. Then Peter told them the whole story. One day in Joppa, he said, while I was praying, I saw a vision, a huge sheet let down by the four corners from the sky. Inside the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds, which we are not to eat. And I heard a voice say, kill and eat whatever you wish. Never, Lord, I replied, for I have never yet eaten anything forbidden by our Jewish faith. But the voice came again. Don't say it isn't right when God declares that it is. And this happened three times before the sheet and all it contained disappeared into heaven. Just then, three men who had come to take me with them to Caesarea arrived at the house where I was staying. The Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry about their being Gentiles. These six brothers accompanied me. And we soon arrived at the home of the man who had sent the messengers. He told us how the angel had appeared to him and told him to send messengers to Joppa to find Simon Peter. He will tell you how you and all your household can be saved. The angel had told him. Well, I began telling them the good news. But just as I was getting started with my sermon, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as it fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, yes, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since it was God who gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to argue? When the others heard this, all of their objections were answered, and they began praising God. Yes, they said, God has given to the Gentiles, too, the privilege of turning to him and receiving eternal life. The word of God, the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I'm going to read to you from John 13, the New Commandment, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. But I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor who doesn't look like you. Love your neighbor who doesn't think like you. Love your neighbor who doesn't love like you or speak like you. Love your neighbor who doesn't pray like you. Love your neighbor who doesn't vote like you. Love your neighbor. No exceptions. I really thought for a while of just showing this clip, calling it a sermon, and saying, let's get on with it. But I probably wouldn't keep my job that way. This says more than I'd ever be able to say in 10 minutes or so. But here we go. Love one another, just as I have loved you. Such a simple command. Yet here we are over 2,000 years later, still trying to get it. The hate crimes that are happening in our world make me so sad, and at times I'm just plain disgusted. Why can't we all just get along? Why can't we look beyond the outside features of a person and learn about who they are on the inside? I personally believe that there are good people and evil people in all races, creeds, nationalities, all people, no matter what they look like or where they come from. There are some who are good and some who are not so good. While my daughter Liz was working for the Jesuit Refugee Service headquarters in Washington, I began reading their daily posts on Facebook. I did this partly to keep track of where Liz was, but eventually I became really impressed with the work that this organization does for people all over the world. On a recent day, this post was written by Father James Martin. What Jesus never said: feed the hungry, only if they have papers. Clothe the naked, only if they are from your own country. Welcome the stranger, only if there is zero risk involved. Help the poor, only if it's convenient. Love your neighbor, only if they look like you. I realize that allowing unlimited numbers of people into our country without papers could possibly cause a problem. Maybe, just maybe, we do need immigration laws and procedures. However, I don't think the pilgrims were vetted before they came to our shores, but that's another story. Regardless, it breaks my heart to see people, especially children, who have no place to go, treated as if they did something wrong by being born in a place where war, poverty, and hunger force them to the point where they leave all that they have ever known in search of something better. Can you imagine just picking up everything you have and leaving this area for good with no idea of where you are going to land? Treating all people with respect and dignity has always been something I strive for. I firmly believe that the custodian and the CEO of any establishment deserve the same level of respect. So this love one another thing, it sounds reasonable. But obviously, over the years, many have continued to be like the believers in Jerusalem. Peter's quote, "Who was I that I would hinder God?" resonates with me. How often do we judge others and play God? God created each one of us. We are like snowflakes, which really shouldn't be seen in New York State in May, but it has been. No two of us are identical. But those believers in Jerusalem, as well as many folks today, believed that if you are different, you can't be worthy of the same kind of love as me, which brings back memories of the fantastic book and movie that we received this year entitled Same Kind of Different as Me. If you haven't gotten a hold of the book or seen the movie, you really should. It's excellent. Our demographics in rural upstate New York don't always provide us with an opportunity to get to know people who are different than us. We are a homogenous bunch, and as Reverend Bruce Webster once said at a meeting I attended, small town Americans are the most insular folks around. I'll never forget that comment. I had to go home and really think about it and figure out just what he meant by this. And when I did, I agreed. As small town people, we have a ton of wonderful benefits. Clean air, places to wander, wide open spaces, little need to lock our doors, friendly faces at the local grocery or Dollar General. But one opportunity we do not usually have is the benefit of diversity. And many of us do not get to experience the differences in people very often. It was like that for me growing up in a small town in Pennsylvania. I was probably about 7 or 8 years old before I even met face to face with a person of color. I remember clearly going to church in Newark, New Jersey with my Aunt Clara and having a black lady as my Sunday school teacher. At that time, the politically correct term was Negro. It was the first time I was ever in a classroom with children and an adult of color. I also remember commenting afterwards that I just loved the hair on the little girl who sat next to me. I was basically colorblind. All the folks at this Presbyterian church in Newark welcomed me warmly, and I had a great time. I began to think that people are people wherever they live or however they look. This reinforces another quote that I have seen over the years. It shows two children of different colors who are hugging each other. The caption underneath is, "Hate is taught, love is not." Nelson Mandela says, "No one is born hating another person because of the color of their skin or background or religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite." Think about the times you have met someone who is different than you. When most of us were growing up, children with mental or physical disabilities were not mainstreamed. Those kids were sent to special schools, or more horrifying to me, they were placed in institutions where they could be separated from others, others including their families. I really can't remember the first time I met a child or an adult who was in a wheelchair or had a disability. Most of us were sheltered. Today, at J.D. George, I see children with all types of disabilities, and I just thank God that my grandchildren have the opportunity to experience this and to see that kids are kids and people are people. I never met a person who was Jewish until I went to Girl Scout camp in Pennsylvania. For the first few years that I went to camp, I went for a week or two and I didn't know that there were Jewish girls at the camp. I just met girls and I became friends with everyone. I wrote letters during the winter to various friends. The summer that I worked as a kitchen aide, I found out that there were girls who came to camp for the whole summer. Boy, was I envious. They didn't go home on the exchange weekends. After a two-week period of camp, the camp would close on Friday night and then welcome new girls on Sunday afternoon. However, a skeleton crew stayed at camp to accommodate those girls who had come from Girl Scout Council in New York, near New York City, who stayed for the whole summer. On Saturday, a rabbi visited from Wilkes-Barre, and there was a service for the girls who were Jewish. Because of who I am, I was intrigued by this service. I looked forward to hearing the chants and listening to their liturgy. Unfortunately, there were a few people on staff who resented the special treatment that these kids from New York City got. They didn't appreciate having to stay on their weekend. I found that petty. But how like so many others in our society who would rather criticize than adapt and be open to different. I've always had an interest in people, especially people from different places in the country and around the world. I really can't tell you the exact time that I decided that I wanted to adopt kids from Korea, but it seems that I had an inkling forever that all my kids wouldn't be of the homemade variety. Here are a few different theories. When I was a little girl, my Aunt Laura was always telling me that I had to eat my vegetables because there were kids in Korea starving. How many people heard that one? I actually would tell Aunt Laura, "We'll take my vegetables and send them to the kids who are starving." I really, really still hate lima beans and beets. Our honor society in high school took a trip to New York City and we visited Chinatown. This was really the first time that I experienced Asian culture. I just loved the adorable Chinese babies who were being pushed around in strollers and carried close in the papoose-like slings. They were so adorable. My friend Shirley reminds me that I bought a small Chinese doll and said I wanted to have a baby like that someday. She reminded me of that when Scott arrived at JFK in New York, not from China, but Korea. The third reason that I probably decided to adopt kids. When Greg and I began talking about having a family, we both agreed we wanted a large family. He kept saying he wanted 14 kids. Yes, 14 kids, he said it over and over. Well, our dear friends Richard and Hope had adopted an adorable Korean daughter named Rebecca. I began to believe that Greg was serious about this number 14. And we began to discuss just what these 14 kids needed to look like. Well, as most of you know, we ended up with 7, only half as many full-time kids. But we've had a bunch of others from all over the world and many backgrounds who have spent time in our home and become part of our family. We've been blessed by diversity. I've met and loved people from many cultures, and I've yet to figure out why people are against certain types of people. Again, people are people. Shusei, or Shu, Ushida, was our first opportunity to experience diversity in our home. He was a Rotary exchange student from Japan who spent the year in Kander shortly after Paul was born. That was about 47 years ago. Then there was Fresh Air Frankie. Then there was Fresh Air Frankie, say that real quick, from Harlem, whose background was Puerto Rican. When Frankie grew too old for the summer funded program, he would come to our farm on his own by bus and work off his bus ticket for us. We consider Gary one of our sons. He thought he lived with us. He actually had a home with sisters in Vernon, But he spent most of his time with my sons during both high school and college breaks. Whenever I saw his mother in town, I would say, "He's still alive." And then, of course, we have our daughter, Ina, who was our exchange student in 1990. Ina is an only child who was thrown into our mob scene during her senior year at VBS. Greg and I will be attending her wedding in Germany this fall, and she calls us her vice parents. Estina is actually my twin sister's daughter. Carol, Estina's birth mother, and I were born on the same day in the same year, 2 hours apart. Estina calls Carol mom and me ma. Their family is from Anagata in the British Virgin Islands. They've become extended family. Our family considers each one of the above individuals to be part of family. We love each one as God loves us and as God loves them. Liz has asked Estina to participate in her wedding. Debbie is currently living with Scott in Florida and recently became friends with a guy named Roy. Roy has known Scott and Jordan for about 8 years. Scott, who as I mentioned is Asian, invited Roy over to meet Deb. Deb is Scott's sister, plain and simple. But Roy seemed a bit confused. He kept discreetly asking questions about Deb's family and parents. Are your parents married? Was there a divorce? Is Scott your stepbrother? No, Scott and I have had the same parents who have been married for 50 years. And then Debbie, in her words, being the blonde that she is, caught on. Finally, the light bulb went off. Oh, well, Scott's adopted. It never really occurred to her that someone would wonder that she and Scott were siblings. Roy wasn't being critical, he was being curious. But family is family. I never met a person who was Muslim until I worked for the Girl Scouts and I had the opportunity to hire Maimoon. Her family is from India. I have since had the opportunity through my work at Red Cross to work with the Muslim community in Utica. Wonderful, hardworking people who have purchased homes in Utica and turned rundown neighborhoods into show places with gorgeous flowers in the summer and well-maintained properties all year long. Through the Girl Scouts and Red Cross, I have met people of many backgrounds. Oneida Indians, Muslims, refugees from Bosnia, Vietnam, Syria, Croatia, to name a few. What I've learned is that people are people. Some of the people that I've met, I've liked. Others, not so much. But because of who they are, I haven't cared for them, not because of what their background is. The Amish and the Mennonites are also an interesting sect. Recently, you may have read in the paper or seen on the news, an Amish man up in Newport beat his horse, and the horse died. In reading the comments in the Utica paper, in the opinion section online, one would think that all Amish are horse beaters. It's so unfair. How many mugshots of Amish people have you seen in the paper? Really, folks, people are people, good and bad. Opportunities abound for each of us to reach out and get to know people of diversity. But unfortunately, if we look no further than our own backyards, might not happen. The VBS school district has over 97% of its students listed as white. Oneida is slightly higher with 90% listed as white. But does that mean we can't reach out to others and show our love and concern for all people? I think not. Our mission emphasis helps us to reach out to people who might be a little different. However, we don't actually get to meet the folks that we show our love to through One Great Hour, or Church World Service, or Rescue Mission, or Emmaus House. When we support Brenda, we are loving her and her mother. We're sharing God's love with her. We do get an idea of what her life is like through the updates. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could actually meet Brenda someday? I've been thinking, which we all know is dangerous, wouldn't it be nice to bring folks into our midst to speak of their backgrounds, religions, and cultures so that we can better understand their journeys? We've had Bible studies that touch on this, but what if we actually met some people of different religions, different cultures, colors, or background? Maybe this would be a good project for next year's Fifth Sunday Mission Emphasis, to have a different visitor each time. In today's climate, I feel it's imperative that we, the disciples of Jesus, reach out and follow the new commandment of Jesus. In our reading from John, Jesus is quoted by saying, "Little children, I am with you only a little longer. Therefore, you must love one another just as I have loved you." Little children, remember the children's Sunday school song? Today, it's probably not politically correct. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. In closing, I'd like to share a quote from Presiding Bishop Michael Curry of the Episcopal Church, as spoken at the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. "When love is the way, poverty would become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. When love is the way, there's plenty of room for all of God's children." It's really quite simple. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen.